Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson, North Dakota. Cup of goodness this morning. The goodness of God is what leads people to repentance if they would just believe and trust what that King James Bible says to be true. King James Bible is the only Bible that teaches about the true goodness of God. I've seen on the internet different ideas and different thoughts and different pictures that deal with the goodness of God according to these people. And what I see is they look at the goodness of God at all the physical blessings. And yes, the earth is beautiful. We have destroyed the earth. I know that. But the earth is beautiful. The valleys are gorgeous. And the crops are fantastic. And I just see physical things. People look to God's goodness as well, how good he's been to them physically. They so much have no clue that the goodness of God today during the dispensation of grace of Paul is all referring to the spiritual blessings. Physical blessings, we're up a creek and most of the folks don't have a paddle anymore. And when they used to think God was blessing them, they're finding out that God is not blessing them. All of a sudden, what's going on here? Well, it just happens to be the trick of the devil. All these physical things that we have are now coming back to bite us. And usually what happens is people know nothing about the goodness of God, the long-suffering of God, the love of God, and they think that God doesn't love them. They think they've done something wrong for God's blessings to be taken away. They think that God's punishing them because their pastors tell them that if you don't come to church, if you don't pay your tithes and offerings, if you don't pay for these things that we're doing, if you're not witnessing on Thursday night, and you're not doing these things, then God is going to chastise you. He pulls that out of Hebrews, which, by the way, is the only time it says that. And again, for those that have been listening, that is a tribulation book. That is not written to the Gentiles. If it was, it would say the book of Gentiles, but it doesn't. It says the book of Hebrews. So it's a mess out there, and it's because the religious crowd has been duped and deceived into following a gospel that was written to the Jews and then will also be spoken to and written to the tribulational folks, but to the Gentiles today, Paul's our apostle. It's that dispensation of grace. It's the goodness of God to the Gentile nation, not the severity of God as was to the Jewish nation. So we're going to try to wrap this thing up today. I just want to get past these topics of praise. There's some things I really want to study and get into and get into this program in case this program doesn't continue because of the cost of it or because of the lack of interest or whatever. Went through Paul's books and looked for question marks, which means Paul was asking a question. And I thought I would ask myself and ask you folks these same questions. And it could be a year-long series if the money was there to keep it going. But anyway, what else are they going to look at? Oh, they were also going to look at marriage. Divorce, remarriage, is it okay? What's the plan? What's going on here? They're a mess everywhere. But the scriptures are very clear and very safe and very encouraging in some folk, in some situations, and discouraging in others, I suppose. The scriptures we're going to talk about in the next couple of days that deal with marriage and divorce and remarriage, pastors that are divorced, abusive wives, abusive husbands, abuse in the home. God has some encouraging things to say. Religion has turned that into a life of bondage. That is not God's desire. That is not God's plan. But anyway, we will talk about that in the next couple of days. For now, let's just get back into this thing. This program this morning is dealing with thanks. We got Thanksgiving coming up here pretty soon. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. See, now we're looking at that word bountifulness as physical, successful, financial, easy living, comfort living, blessings. And I know a lot of people out there that the life that they lead, the things that are happening to them, you certainly can't put that on God. It's either the result of reaping what we sowed, or it's the result of living in a cursed world still. Just because we know God, just because we say that we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, you're not immune to the curse of this world. We've got work, employment, we've got bad work, bad employment, we've got disease, we've got sickness, we've got death, unnatural death. poor timing for death. That it's just not there. Just because we know Jesus Christ, the victory he's talking about is over death. We'll talk about that too as we get going here. But we're just looking at thanks. And everything give thanks, he says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So is this the will of God that we get cancer when we're only 25 or 30? Is this the will of God that our job just be pulled out from underneath us? Is it the will of God for our children to get sick, to run away, to hate God? Is in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? Is that what he's talking about there? Amazing stuff where religion takes us, isn't it? Religious has us under bondage. There's no liberty in Christ. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no understanding. There's no confidence. There's no strength. There's no power of God in religion today. There's really, truly no redemption. There certainly is no convincing. They may try to put conviction on you because the pastor puts it on you, but that's just called guilt. There's a difference there. The judgments that people are making are not scriptural judgments. They're not based on the risen Savior. They're based on religion. They're based on control, either parental control, husband control, wife control, older siblings control, you know, educational control, governmental control. We've got a mess going on out there, folks. So let's look more here this morning. By the way, this is program number 114. I would like to hear from some of you folks out there, but obviously you're probably, if you're writing at all, writing to the radio station and asking, why is this program on the air? This is a music. Well, there's other programs on the air too. And listen, in the radio station world, there are people out there saying what's wrong with the King James Bible, which has been around for 400 years, and people shed blood for that thing to be printed and given the freedom to have it. That Bible has been the mainstay of America's earlier years. Now we have religions, we have denominations, we have 300 to 400 different types of Bibles. So I say this is America, let them have their different Bibles. But don't put down the King James Bible. I mean, there has to be a reason people are against the King James Bible, but they accept all the other ones. Could be maybe that the King James Bible is the spiritual light that's manifesting things in people's lives, and they just don't want to hear it. Could be all sorts of reasons. So if the radio station world is out there putting out things against the King James Bible, well, it's time that those that believe the King James Bible to be the Word of God to get on those radio stations and answer back what they're having to say. And then we got the King James guys out there that don't know anything about rightly dividing, so they take their power and their artistic skills and their preaching and teaching guilty skills, and they put the hammer on people by going to the Gospels, the severity of God, by going to the tribulation books, the severity of God. And for just, I understand the reasons, don't have time to talk about them now, they just hate the goodness of God. And that's exactly what Romans says, only in the King James Bible, that one of these days, the Gentiles are going to be so against the goodness of God that God's going to shut off the Gentiles, and it's going to be done, and those that are left will be what everybody calls raptured out. The few that are left, not the millions that disappear, but the few, goes right into the tribulation, and doctrinal changes. Chances are, I figure, that Paul will be preached during the tribulation, though, because Peter even says, why, you know, you guys are trying to figure out Paul's stuff. Well, Paul's stuff isn't written to the tribulation people. I tell you, the devil knows what's going on, and he knows how to manipulate things. He knows how to do things without people knowing it. Very subtle, very sly, very sneaky. And he's got ministers of righteousness, the Bible calls the pastors today, that are being deceived and are deceiving others. And they're doing it on purpose, according to Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, I could just ramble on to the situation and say, but let's not do that. Let's get into our topics of praise. I'm sure we won't get them all then, today, but we're getting very close. We're going to speed up the process here. We have talked about being thankful and praising him with our music, about his admonishment, that he's willing and he will guide us and warn us, tell us who and what and where to stay away from. We thank him for his redemption. He's redeemed us from the world. He's redeemed us from sin. He's not redeemed us from sinning, because our works will still have to be judged according to the judgment seat of Christ. But we've still been redeemed from the fact that those will just burn up, but we won't. We've been redeemed from the devil. We've been redeemed from church and from religion. We talked about personal convincing, not conviction, but convincing. You've got to get into your scriptures and rightly divide the word of truth and let the Holy Spirit convince you of what's truth based on His truth. We talked about His righteous judgments. We talked about His power, which certainly is a different kind of power than you hear about in the modern Christianity today. We talked about His strength. Our strength, His strength He gives to us is His grace. Nothing stronger to keep a Christian going than the grace of God. We talked about His mercies. We talked about the honor of His name and the fact that His word is still is magnified above His name. We talked about doctrinal appreciation, the appreciation of sound doctrine, to know that we can read that Bible and have a total awareness and knowledge of how to live a life that, you know, along the lines here, we try to please God. So doctrinal appreciation, we appreciate sound doctrine. And then we talked about His righteousness, His faithfulness, and this morning we're going to start up with His wondrous works and ways, His marvelous works, His wonderful works, His salvation, the help of His countenance, the health of my countenance, His words, His loving kindness, His merciful kindness, His name, His wonders, His goodness, His truth. Oh, I could go down the list here. It's all His. I do believe that's something else that modern Christianity does, is it claims everything for itself as if to Christians today have anything to do with what God has done for us and to us. So let's go back and just pick out on a couple of these things. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. And it says here, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." So we're looking at being thankful and the praises for the wonderful works and ways of God, but we have to keep in mind that if we go to Psalm 105, I'll show you here, Psalm 105, verse 2, and sure it says here, "Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works." Now, keep in mind here, we go to Revelation 15:13, when this is all said and done, And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." And that's what everything is like winding down. So yes, his works and ways are marvelous, but we just have to remember that his works were done physically to the Old Testament days as they were traveling through the desert. We have to remember that his works during the tribulation will be taking place and they will be helping the people. But today, his ways, they're done through Paul. I just read that. My ways, Paul says, which be in Christ. So we don't imitate Paul, but we follow Paul because what he does with his manner of life is in Christ. The risen Savior teaches Paul to teach us what it is that pleases God and is supposed to be taught everywhere in every church. Paul's ways are hardly taught anywhere. In fact, even in Paul's churches that teach the rightly divide the word of truth by looking to Paul, even those churches don't teach the ways of the risen Savior. The ways of Paul is called the manner of life. And Paul even says, of course, you know, you understand my manner of life. No, most people don't. So when we praise God for his wondrous works and ways, his marvelous works, as it says in Psalms 9, his wonderful works again in Psalm 107, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31, Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1, they praise God for his works. We have to remember that today we're looking to his ways are done through Paul. That's the way it should be. Now, we have to keep in mind, along with works, comes the word wonders. And if we study about the wonders of God, and we want to praise God for his wonders, you'll realize that the wonders, the visual wonders that are being done today, are not being done by God. All the scriptures in Paul's verses talk about the wonders that are being done by the devil. Miracles, signs, wonders. Because we're supposed to be living by faith. And we get that faith from hearing the word of God. And we build up in our faith because we have his faith. We don't live by sight. We don't walk by sight. We're not to do our day-to-day affairs and our blessings of God being judged by the fact that what we see is a good work. Those good works are being done by the devil to get people caught up into modern Christianity, to get people caught up into music of modern Christianity. So when he comes, all kinds of music will bow down and they'll worship him. I could talk about that again over and over. So be careful when you say, you know, praising God for his ways. Make sure you realize that his ways are through Paul now. And those are the ways that are supposed to be taught in church. If you're talking about the wonders of God, remember the wonders of God today are being done by the devil, so they are not the wonders of God. They are wonders of a God. That's a big difference here. Now, if we want to praise God for his words, here's another one. His words, well, his words are made pure and they're preserved according to Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. But folks, if you're going to praise God for his words, you've got to get rid of your modern Bible and go back to a King James Bible. Those are the only place his words are inspired and preserved. I just can imagine God, who's hearing all these praises and thanks and all this kind of stuff, supposedly, in the churches today, if he's even listening at all. He wouldn't listen to him in Book of Amos. I don't know why he would listen to him today, other than it's the goodness of God. Romans chapter 2 allows things to go forward as they are without him stopping them. So maybe these people will wise up here eventually. So when we look at his words being inspired and preserved, we have them in our King James Bible. I've been over that 113 times in the previous program, so we'll go beyond that here. How about his loving kindness? It's mentioned in Psalms, his merciful kindness. See, remember now, Jesus taught the way of God. Not a problem. But Paul teaches the way of God more perfectly. Doesn't mean he's doing a better job than Jesus did. Jesus taught the way of God as it was to the Jews. Paul is teaching the way of God more perfectly. There's more to it now. God has gone on to the Gentiles, and what Paul teaches, it's the way of God on to the Gentiles, which is what is more perfectly. There's more to it. It's more finished now. We're hearing more about the complete plan. We're going to go to Titus chapter 3 and see something really exciting about the kindness of God. Yes, there's kindness, there's grace, there's mercy, and there's goodness. There's a difference in all those things. Don't lump them all together. He says in Titus chapter 3, referring to God's kindness, he says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now, I bet you recognize one of those verses in there, "not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." See, now there's, by the way, bunny trail, there's a rhythm in there, isn't there? And chances are, if you've been able to memorize chapter 3 of Titus, verse 5, it's helped because there's a rhythm and there's rhyme, there's poetry in that thing. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." It's one of those verses where people know verse 5, but do they know 3 and 4? We go back to verse 1. "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." See, the works that we get from God, he tells us what to do. That would be the good work. "To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." If somebody has rejected Christ, rejected the King James Bible, rejected the rightly dividing the word of truth, and rejecting this goodness of God, then they are foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Because, see, we were that way at one time. The sad thing is because Christ doesn't make us into new sinningless people, sometimes we still are foolish, sometimes we're still disobedient, deceived, sometimes we serve divers lusts and pleasures, sometimes we live in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We still do that. Why is that? Well, because Romans chapter 7, Paul tells us, listen, he cuts our soul and spirit away from the flesh. The flesh still has that stuff in it. Sin is still there. We just choose to go that way. Now, before, these people didn't have a choice. They were attached. But see, just keep in mind, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Doesn't mean that everybody has his love. It just means that it appeared to them. And if they reject that, then they don't have that. And if they don't have that, then they're still obviously disobedient, deceived, serving divers, lusts, and pleasures, etc., etc. But it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. We've talked about this. It's the works of righteousness that he has done, that he imputes to us. Oh, the goodness of God is so absent in people's minds and lives. It's just really sad to see that. Well, let's just kind of get going here. All those could be studied deeper without a problem here. We would understand that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, a fantastic verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, we thank the God for this. This is a topic of praise. Why is that? Well, first of all, your Bible, your modern Bible say, we're a new creation. What is a new creation? We're a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, but you have to be in Christ. Christ is the risen Jesus. And so if you're not studying the doctrine, if you're not being turned and guided to the Jesus that's risen, and you're being taught the earthly Jesus to the Jews' doctrinal stuff, are you sure you're in Christ? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, this is what I like the most. Old things are passed away. They're gone. They're washed in his blood, we know that, and they don't come back. If we do something today, we learn from Paul that it's not imputed, it's not charged to us. So when he says, this is a very small point to see, but it's a huge thing to understand, he says, behold, all things are become new. It doesn't say all things became new. It said, behold, all things are become new. So in other words, we have every second is new. All things are become new. Are become new. You just got to think it. You have to think on that. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You go 1 second into the future, 1 second later, 1 second later, 1 second later, all those things are passed away, and all things are become new. And the things that we do as a new creature that are not pleasing to God will burn in the judgment seat of Christ. And all things that are new that are pleasing to God will be rewarded. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Romans chapter 2, verse 16 tells us it's based on Paul's teachings. Marvelous. Now, when he says old things are passed away, it would be good if we ourselves could take those old things and forget about them. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I mean, when Paul was on the earth, he hadn't arrived yet. He still fought his flesh, Romans chapter 7, 15 plus. But this one thing I do, here's what Paul was good at. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'm telling you, folks, if we as Christians could put our trust in Christ, and when he says old things are passed away, if we could do the same thing, if we could forget those things which are behind, and if we could reach forth unto those things which are before, that would be a marvelous source of peace. Just get over it, get past it, and keep going. So this thing that you did today that you shouldn't have done, this thing that you looked at, this thing that you drank, this thing that you touched, this thing that you did, you're right. You shouldn't have done it. You let the power of it take over you. You let it become an opportunity for the flesh to work. You know what it's going to do? It's going to burn in the judgment seat of Christ. Get over it. Get on with things. Get up. It's just like when a baby's learning to walk, a toddler. She's going to fall down. And it could sit there and cry. Or you walk over there and you say, come on, get up, keep trying, keep trying. And a couple of days later, that kid can actually make it to the table. couple of days later, it can keep going. And you just totally, I hope you're the kind of parent that forgets the fact, yeah, you know, when you fell down when you first started to walk, you were klutzy. No, you forget about it. You just get on with it. You keep going. That's how we learn to walk. The grace of God is not there to allow us to do things because now we've got Christ redemption and Christ grace, all that kind of stuff. No, His grace is there so when we try to learn to please God, which we learn through Paul's teachings, as we learn to please God, we get better and better. And every time we fall down, every time we stumble, the grace of God, which is our strength, helps us get up again and keep going. Remember, all things are passed away. All things are become new. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forget about it. Get over it. Get on with it. Don't be ashamed. It wasn't imputed. It wasn't charged to your account anyway. And when it comes up in the judgment seat of Christ, it's just going to burn, so that wouldn't worry about it. Sure, you're disappointed. Sure, you're probably embarrassed. You're mad at yourself. But Paul says, listen, forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. He says in Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And he's taught those things through Paul. Those are the things we search. Those are the things we are set our affection on. How do you know about them? Read your Bible. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Listen, folks, we're dead. But the life we live is we're being kept alive by the Holy Spirit of God. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. So then he says, okay, so if that's the case, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is adultery, etc., etc. We need to thank God that He's making it possible by guiding us and by forgiving us and not imputing those things that we do wrong, and we're going to keep doing them because we do not have the Spirit of God upon our flesh like they will during the tribulation, Acts chapter 2. So I'm just trying to be encouraging folks that are frustrated, they're depressed, they're scared, they're embarrassed, they get down on themselves. The thing that people miss in today's modern Christianity of the goodness of God is the joy and the peace that comes with that understanding of the risen Savior through Paul in the King James Bible. It's tough. We are so fleshly oriented today. We have so many things going on in this world today. We are so busy with things, we tend to forget the joy and the peace that can come if we just settle down, get our minds off ourselves and get our minds on the risen Savior, get our minds into that King James Bible, and look to Paul. Look what he has to teach to us. Paul is just like one of us. He's been through it all. He fought the flesh all the time. He had his losses, and he just wanted out. But in the meantime, he kept teaching people about the goodness of God. And that's what we need to keep doing ourselves. And I need to listen to that as much as anybody else. So we will try to finish this up. We've just got a few more to go. Tomorrow, and then we're going to get into this marriage, divorce, remarriage, abuse marriages, I mean, what's going on in the homes and the families. I think it'll be interesting. But until then, I'll see you tomorrow morning, folks.